This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Welcome back to G&D on the Fan. As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season that we've seen play out, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. The sponsor of this show, the law firm Condorian Murat, will help you update your last will and testament. They'll set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that G&D sent you so you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We're taking you up to 6:30 on the Fan. Remember, we are going to Philly tomorrow with Condorian Murat. We will be broadcasting live from a sports bar just outside of the area where the stadium is. So if you're going up to Philly, hit us up and ask us where we'll be. We'll give you the details so you can come check out the show. But right now, let's go to the guest hotline, because it's time to get some trusted insight from a trusted insider presented by IT Cadre, where DC sports insiders share their exclusive perspective. Our buddy Austin Eckler joins us now. Austin, before we talk about tomorrow night's Eagles game, let's get into what happened on Sunday with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You scored two touchdowns. A lot of things went well, but in the end, you finished in second place by 1 point.
Yeah, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. They made enough plays to get the job done, and we fell short. As you mentioned, we did put some good stuff on tape as well, but it just wasn't enough, right? They did just enough, beat us by one there, late in the fourth quarter, and you know that's how the NFL goes sometimes. But as us, you know, as competitors, we're ready to bounce back and take it out on Philly now.
Yeah, such a close game, such a tight game, two good teams going at it there. What was kind of the feeling post game, and what was said?
Yeah, you know, just when you go out there and play a good, tough game, you feel like, man, there's that one play. There's always that one play or this play or that play that really could have made a difference. That's why this game's so great, because everything really does matter, because it can come down to one play. And if you can put the game away, you don't have to have those conversations, because then hopefully you have a little bit more grace in your win. But when it comes down to two head-to-head, you know, good teams playing each other, it's going to come down to the littlest details all the way to the last second. And as we saw with our game, it was kind of back and forth throughout that game. And it's good TV for sure, but as competitors, we want to win, and so we want to make sure we blow everyone out of the water when we can. And you know, it was a fun battle. These are the things that, like, I'll remember. You know, going into my next career, is just the battles on the field that we had, the close games, the tough losses, the tough wins. But really, really appreciate how the guys fought out there. And like I said, looking forward to this upcoming week as well.
Austin Eckler, presented by IT Cadre here on Grant and Danny. Two rushing touchdowns for him in Sunday's game against Pittsburgh. When you line up, based on the looks you're getting, do you have a pretty good idea if you're going to score or not generally? Because, like, on the toss there, you know, as they make the toss, I'm going, oh, out wide, going horizontal on the goal line. Never mind. That's perfect.
Great,
that's
call.
Great. Way to go. Like, do you normally know just based on the looks you're getting?
I mean, you anticipate what the play is going to look like, but this is another reason why football is so great, because some things happen sometimes that you're not expecting, right? Someone falls down, someone, you know, trips, someone gets blown off the ball, or someone gets blown back off the ball, and, or, hey, the defender, you know, comes over the top. It's like there's so many unexpected things that happen. You know, I think the only thing we can really anticipate is, you know, how they're lined up, and then after that, it's okay, react as a ball carrier, right? You have the ball, you have an aiming point, and then it's go be a skilled runner, as Coach Lynn always says.
Austin, how do things kind of change without Brian Robinson there? It's almost like you, instead of being like what I think of like as the Austin Ekeler role, that so dynamic and you know, obviously running the ball, but also catching passes and pass pro and things. It's almost like you've got to be like, okay, let me wear the bell cow coat now, and then other people kind of have to sort of shift their roles. Can you go into that? What it means when there's no Brian Robinson and you guys, and how you divvy things up?
Yeah, you know, as running backs, just in general, we all have different strengths and weaknesses. And, you know, Brian is, you know, 6'2", 230. So that's definitely a big body in comparison to me at 5'8", 195. And so, I mean, he, as a downhill type of guy, is a different type of back and has a different type of skill set than I do. Right? You know, see me a lot on the third down. You see me a lot spreading out wide. Even if Brian's there or not, I'm all over kind of the place. And that's something that I've been used like that for all of my career. And even when Brian's there, I still get used, not there. If Brian's not there, I still get used in that same capacity. I just get more attention, I guess, in the backfield as the runner when Brian isn't there. And so when he is there, we see more of, I think, okay, Austin, Brian, you're definitely going to get these touches. Austin, we're going to try to get you the ball in other ways, running the ball, catching ball, screens down the field, you know, option routes underneath, things like that. So the dynamic doesn't change. It's just more of the Austin Ekeler flavor when Brian's out, right?
Austin Ekeler on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. When you guys have a game like you did against Pittsburgh, which was super uncharacteristic, but there were a handful of drops collectively as a group. There were little mistakes, whether it's jumping off sides on the 4th and 1 or, you know, various moments throughout the game. Is that easier to process in a short week because you just kind of wash it away and you say, look, that's not who we are anyway. It was just a bad day. Or like, what's your philosophy on that and cleaning those things up?
Well, thankfully, we have a good group of guys that acknowledge, right, take ownership. We have a thing called, you know, Tell the Truth Monday. And so we have a lot of guys that are, yep, I need to be better there. But what's really encouraging is those are the things we work on all the time. Obviously, catching the ball has got to be second nature for us. You know, being able to, you know, cue the count. Like, the thing is, we're in a position where we could have had a better result, not because we don't have enough talent, but because of some things that we can control, which is the best and the most encouraging thing about this team. A good group of guys and guys that have the talent that we can actually go and you know, compete with the best and also win against the best. But we absolutely have to show up on Sundays because that's where it counts the most. And so, you know, if we have those mistakes like we had on the game, you know, in those types of tight games, you're probably going to lose. And that's how it goes across the league, no matter who you're playing, especially in the tight ones.
Austin Ekeler with us here on G&D. Obviously, this game is so physical in general, but I feel like that one was especially physical. You and Pittsburgh going at it, just some big crunches, huge hits in there. Now you got to turn around and play another good team. Just how do you process that body wise? How do you get yourself, you know, back in line to be able to play pretty much 72 hours from now? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. You know, my body's still sore. I'll be sore going into the game from the Pittsburgh game. And it was funny, we were actually kind of talking about that because Philly, you know, they were handling Dallas a little bit, so they actually got to rest some of their guys late in the game. And we didn't have that luxury. You know, we were out there. We were in a dogfight all the way into the end. But it kind of just plays out whatever scenario you have to deal with it. You know, my body might be sore just because of the type of game that we were in. Some other players might feel this way, some you might feel that way, but it's kind of just the mentality of, hey, you have a Thursday night game, you got to get yourself ready to play no matter what. And if that's, you know, you got 70% to give, that's what we need because we'll take whatever you got. And the short week is definitely harder to recover, but it's is part of our ecosystem of sport. And then, you know, I love watching the Thursday game. So I'm not saying like, let's get rid of it or anything like that, but I'm just saying it's definitely tough. And there's a reason why we usually have one of them, you know, per team.
Yeah, I can imagine. I was joking with Danny on the show. I'm not ready for Thursday yet. And I didn't go through the car crashes. I just sat there and ate hot dogs while you guys were playing, right? So I can't even imagine physically. But, you know, shtick aside, you're not just a veteran leader in this locker room. You're considered one of the guys with a voice league-wide, in a sense. I know you've been a part of the PA committees and different things. I mean, where are you on Thursday Night Football? Do you, like, are we in a good place with it? Do you have any issue with it, or is it something that has grown on you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the data, and this is what we always go back to, I'm not 100% clear, but the injury rate isn't, if at all, too different from those Thursday night games, from my understanding. And so if it was, that would be something that we'd be raising a lot more attention to. It definitely feels different, just because you might not have a higher injury rate or anything like that. It doesn't matter as far as, because there's a psychological effect that you can't measure as well. So from my perspective, the fact that we only have one per team is encouraging, where it's like, hey, you only have to go through this one time. This is not like a weekly thing or a couple times a year. So I think that kind of plays a factor into it as well, where it's like, okay, like it's good for, in my opinion, the game, because it creates another primetime game. It's another isolation game, and it's in the middle of the week, so football stays on people's minds. You get the Thursday, you get, you know, Sunday. Eventually, we start getting the Saturday games, and then you have the Monday game, and then Thursday is right around the corner from the Monday game. So I do like what it does from an outside perspective of watching, being able to watch the game.
What's the schedule like this week? Obviously, you know, it's all ramped up. You play Thursday, but instead of, you know, off days, it's like right back at it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's literally right back at it, like you said. So we came in the building Monday, and that was like a Wednesday for us, and which is, it's tough too, because I feel like usually you have Monday and Tuesday to kind of reset your mind and your body gets a little break. You can go through some workouts, some recovery stuff, which is awesome. And then you come in the building Wednesday with kind of like a refreshed feeling mentally and physically. But when we just played yesterday and came in the building on Monday, like, my body was kind of like, wait, we don't feel refreshed yet. Like, what's going on here? We're already learning the new install. So, like I said, it's 1 week that you grind through, but you make it through, you push through. And it's a lot of, you know, doing walkthroughs and what Coach Quinn calls above the neck emphasis, just all really mental stuff.
We're getting trusted insight from our trusted insider, Austin Eckler, presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective here on Grant and Danny. Division games always have a little bit more juice. This one even more so, I'd guess, because this is shaping up, it would appear, to be a two-horse race with you and Philly at the top of the division. You're new to the East here and already in a playoff race in your first season in the nation's capital, but you're no stranger to important division games. Any different feel preparing for or even during those and with these rivalries?
As far as preparation, no, because you treat every game like it's the most important game, because it is. It's the game that you're playing that week. It's more of a, I would say, an emotional feeling when it's against a division rival, where it's like, okay, like this is for playoff. You know, being a playoff contender, making sure we do win our division. But the preparation isn't any different. I guess it's just more added motivation, right? We're already highly motivated individuals. This is just something you can put on top of the pile, so to speak.
All right, so let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. They're good, and so are you guys. What's the most important thing for you guys to get a win on Thursday?
Limiting the mistakes. You saw with the last game we played against the Steelers, it's like, okay, they're playing well, but if they would have done this, if they wouldn't have dropped it, if they would have stayed here and there, and there's these little moments that actually are big moments in the long term kind of momentum of the game. And at the time, it might not seem like it. Oh, it's the second quarter. You know, they dropped a first down. You know, and then they ended up punting. But you know, it didn't really matter because it's the second quarter. No, those matter because momentum is massive in sports. And if you can continue to, you know, put your foot on the gas and have more efficient drives, continue to win the field position, win the time of possession, that leads to odds of you winning the game. And so that's what it comes down to: making sure we limit our mistakes. There's going to be mistakes. It's football. They get paid too. So do we. But it's making sure, hey, when you have these types of games, whoever makes the less amount of mistakes is going to win the game. Both teams have playmakers all over the place. And so now it's about how can we handle each other? What's the schematics of it? But at the end of the day, players got to make plays and do the right things.
Can having people in your building like Brian Johnson, who was there last year and knows personnel so much, can that help? Or is that something we talk about a lot outside that isn't necessarily a real thing because everybody moves around so much?
Yeah, you have so many different people in this building. And so, like, if people know the personnel and things like that, I mean, yeah, it can help when you're trying to put, like, the plays together, schematics, trying to take advantage of matchups, absolutely. But at the end of the day, those matchups still have to play themselves out. You know, like, we still have to play the game. You can put your players in the best position to win, 100%, that makes a difference. And so, yes, I would say it makes a difference. But it still has to come to fruition. But you can, you know, obviously put yourself in the position where you feel like you're advantageous based off of matchups and looks and things like that.
Last one for me, Austin. You guys have such a late bye. I remember when I covered Mike Shanahan on the beat, he used to say all the time, you know, he would ask the league, he told me, for Thursday games, like around now or Thanksgiving, because he felt like it was a mini bye on the other side. Like, yeah, it's a grind. You got to get through it. You got to get to it. But on the other side of that, he felt like it was an extra bye almost. Do you have that feeling at all? Like, after this, you'll actually be able to rest up a bit?
Hey, that, whatever helps you psychologically, like, that's what you lean on. So, I leaned into that, too. Like, hey, we got a little bye after this, you know? Like, it's a couple more days, which is actually really a big deal, and especially in our sport. Every day definitely matters. So we lean into that, absolutely. We got a little bye after this. We can get rested up and come back just like we just got, you know, a whole bye week, and we're ready to go against, I don't even know what we play next. That's how locked I am on Philly. So, yeah, I'll say that, yeah, for sure. For our psyche, 100%, we have a little bye after this.
Awesome as always, buddy. Keep rolling, man. Let's get a win on Thursday. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. See you, boys.
That's our guy, Austin Eckler, on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Commanders, Eagles, tomorrow night, Lincoln Financial Field. We will be there. If you are heading up that way, let us know. Doing a little tweet up. We're going to have a live show from a bar near the stadium. We'll tell you where we're at. At Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. You want to swing through and say what's good. We're taking you up to 6:30 on The Fan. If you guys want to chime in on what we were talking about earlier, we do want to hear from you at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Question being, why are so many people in town seemingly just chalking this up as a loss when it seems like 2 weeks ago everybody thought you were going to Philly to win, maybe even a week ago? I know it's a short week. It seems like a game they can absolutely compete in, Danny.
Right, and I want to draw the distinction between I'm predicting them to lose a close game versus the feeling that we're seeing and hearing from folks of the we're chalking this up as a loss, there's no chance. Even though I'm picking against Washington, of course there's a chance they can win this game. There's even a pretty reasonable one that they could, right? There's nothing that either of these teams has turned in that makes you think this is a giant mismatch and it's going to be terrible. I think Washington's got weaknesses that Philly can exploit. They're saying the same thing about our team, too.
Yeah.
So they could absolutely win this game, talking about Washington.
Plus, another angle that I want to get into next, the two really good defenses that Washington has faced have both done a great job against this offense. The Bears held Washington to 12 points before the Hail Mary, and then the Steelers kept Jaden Daniels in the pocket. And while the points were there, thanks to some short fields, there were basically two long productive drives for the offense the entire game on Sunday. Is that a concern that maybe something's getting solved here, or is that premature to say? Let's get to that next on The Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are about 27 hours away from the Commanders and the Eagles. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Question for you right now is, why does there seem to be so little confidence in town that Washington can go up to Philly and pull off an upset when they have elevated their game against good opponents? They have played them really tight, and they've been great on the road so far this year. In fact, here's a little nugget as far as road games go. Jaden Daniels has been exceptional on the road to the extent, Danny, that he's one of two quarterbacks to ever post a 90-plus quarterback rating in his first five road starts. Dak Prescott is the other. First five road games for Daniels, number one all-time in completion percentage, number two in rating, 116.2. Now, I'm not a big quarterback rating guy, because basically what quarterback rating is, it boils down to a handful of categories, but it's touchdowns and interceptions are basically the story. And those are just a few passes over the course of the game. If you complete a high percent, if you don't turn the ball over, you're going to have a really high quarterback rating. And there's other better metrics for quarterback play. But I bring that up to say he throws some touchdowns, he throws no interceptions, and he completes a high percentage on the road. He is efficient, he has been comfortable, he has played confident, he has not put the ball in harm's way, meaning he's been poised, and he has delivered winning performances on the road for Washington.
Yeah, so the opposite is a recipe for losing games,
yep.
Right? And that's what happens. That's why you know, for so many years, it's that Bill Belichick versus rookie quarterback thing. Well, they didn't just bring that up as like a weird data point. They brought it up because you know what that meant. It meant the ball's in harm's way. It meant that the errant passes, the forcing of things, what was that decision? What could you possibly have seen there? That doesn't happen. Back-to-back weeks with a pick for Jaden Daniels, pretty much like 2 months ago now. And nothing really been remotely close since, it feels like. I'm sure there's interceptable balls here and there. I mean, it's the league, but that's been probably the most remarkable part about this whole offense and really Daniels at large.
So you gave your best guess as to why it seems like the expectations are lower this week than they have been in a long time this season for this team. Other than just short week, Thursday night, weird things happen, and you got to travel a few days after playing a physical Steelers team, which might be the answer. Here's the only other thing I can come up with. Is there some fear within the fan base after the Steelers game that the offense is slowing down? Is there some fear within the fan base after the last 3 weeks that something's starting to be solved a bit? They're still playing well on offense if you just take their numbers over the last three games. But what is different is the elite early season production and the top-notch, first-in-class numbers. Number one, number two, number three in the league in all these categories. Some of that is slowing down. You could just look at the fact that they scored 27 against the Steelers. Seven was on a 15-yard drive. Another score on a drive that started at midfield. They basically were in the mid-teens in points against Pittsburgh that were earned on drives. And they had really two drives to write home about in the entire game. More three and outs, less success than they've had in any game. By far the worst performance they've had. And it was the first team that actually was able to keep Jaden Daniels in the pocket. The first team that was actually able to keep Jaden Daniels from beating them on the ground. The first team that was ever to kind of dictate terms when Washington's offense and Cliff Kingsbury's group was on the field. So you say, well, it's a one-off. Except that 2 weeks before that, before the Hail Mary, on the final second of the game, they scored 12 points against the Bears. And that day, they actually did move the ball up and down the field, but they were bad in the red zone, and the really good Bears defense got stops time and time and time again and forced four field goals. So they played two awesome defenses.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears held them to 12 points pre-Hail Mary. The Steelers, who basically held them to mid-teens and their worst offensive day all season long. And I wonder if there's some thought that maybe when they're playing now, the third-best defense they've played so far this season, the Eagles, that you can't count on the offense being lights out. maybe that they've come back to the pack a little bit. Is there anything to that fear in the fan base, or do you think trying to assign something that isn't there?
I don't think it's one thing. You know how we used to always talk about why is attendance down, or why aren't people watching the same way, or why aren't people as concerned? Everybody had that final straw. Everybody had that one data point, or that one occurrence, or that one event, or the one experience that sent them over the top in that direction where they said, screw it, hands up, I'm never doing that again. I think when we're talking about this, for example, I look at it this way. They played three good teams. In those games, they've averaged about 280 yards and right around 20 points. That's not terrible, but they're all three losses against the three good teams that they've played. Philadelphia, I still think there's something to, there's the pedigree that I think matters to a lot of people. You do a much better job of this, of turning the page and looking at a team this year. We talked about this ad nauseum with Cincinnati going into that week back then, if you recall, which is, yeah, when they're right, they're a 13-win team that goes to the AFC title game. And they're the only guys that have gotten Pat Mahomes, non-Tom Brady division, right? That the Bengals team went to the Super Bowl, not the Chiefs that one time because they had Burrow, and they're awesome. That offense is going to be great. They haven't been yet, but they will be. Same with the Eagles. You win 25 games over 2 years with one of the biggest collapses in human history last year. There's a built-in, okay, that's not new for them. Them being good at the top of the division is old hat. That's boring. They're always there. This is all very new for Washington. This is the first time the groundhog has come above ground. We're looking around. We're a little bit nervous. There might be some predators around. I think that's part of it. To me, there's no one specific ingredient, but I'm getting that sense. Again, there's a huge gap between I'm looking at all the different factors, and when I have to make my bet or pick or make a wager, I think they might fall just short here on Thursday night in Philadelphia. There's a difference between that and, dude, they've got no shot. And it's that no shot vibe that we're kind of addressing here, I think.
Yeah, I don't understand how anyone could have watched this team all year and think at any point they're going into a game and they're not going to have a chance to be in the mix. You got number five, the way he's played this year, and maybe bigger picture, you got this offense that moves the ball and scores, you're going to be in the game. Unless you think that the offense isn't that anymore. And maybe it's like a subconscious thing, too, where you just watch them play their worst game. Maybe you didn't know that was happening or what wasn't possible, right? Like, if you go into a game and you've never seen them struggle, you're not going to think they might struggle. Now you're coming off of a game where they just had their worst yards per play performance, their worst net yards performance by 57 yards, their second to worst first downs performance, their third to worst third down percentage, their worst rushing net by 48 yards, their worst number of points put up, their worst time of possession put up. Like, all of those things happened in this game offensively. And if you look at that and you go, maybe I don't feel as good about the offense right now in a short week. And it's not because you think they've been solved, but you just now think that there is the possibility that that game could happen because you've seen it now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a, seeing is believing kind of deal. Mark in Southern Maryland, you're on the Fan. What's going on?
What's up, brothers?
Hey, man.
Listen, this is the first time I've ever called in. I've listened to you guys for years and years. I love you.
And thank you, buddy.
I just don't understand why everybody's so pessimistic about this team. I'm 46 years old. I remember when we used to win Super Bowls, barely, in 91, 87, 83, I was four. This is different. It all starts at the top. You can't fix the problem until you know what the problem is. That's why nothing happened last year. Everything happened this year. The problem's being fixed. Okay, and with the pessimism of everything that people are saying right now, how can you be pessimistic about losing to the Steelers by 1 point when you didn't have B-Rob, okay, which is a big thing. We didn't have B-Rob in Baltimore. I think we win the Ravens game if we had B-Rob. Like, he's a major part of that offense, major part. But we were in that game. Everybody thinks, and listen, and that's not a knock to them. I mean, there's two generations of losing. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's where that mindset comes from. There's two generations of losing. I went to my first game in 7 years when they threw that Hail Mary, and I had two ladies walking down the steps and told them, please do not leave. You're going to miss this miracle. And they stayed and watched it, and I have it on tape with them, and they celebrated. It was amazing. That if it was a dome, the roof would have blown off. Any replay on TV does not do that justice. The roof would have blown off when he caught that pass.
It was nuts.
And you know what we don't hear? This is a must win. We don't hear that. We haven't heard that all year. We're 7-3. We just lost by one without B-Rob, without Lattimore that we haven't had all season. Have they figured us out? Of course not. We had six drop passes that were crucial. Crucial plays.
Yeah, if one of those gets caught on the final drive, you beat the Steelers. And how much different is the conversation going in? They're 8-2, coming off of a win over Pittsburgh on the final drive with all the momentum. I don't think the story would be the same.
No, it wouldn't be, of course. But it's the same way that everybody, he's talking about after the Bears game, where it took a miracle to win it. It took whatever the opposite of a miracle is, a flub, a choke, whatever you want to call it, of guys just not catching passes to lose against Pittsburgh. So that sort of stuff kind of tends to even out. But you're right. I mean, you end up with more points at the end of the game. You feel like it was maybe much better than it was or wasn't.
But I think his point's correct about if we're asking where is the regression in confidence this week coming from, because we've done these Friday field trips all season long. And everywhere we go, everyone's going,
just cutting a promo.
Going to beat them by 20. Going to beat them by 15. Going to beat them by 10. Going to beat them by 17. And for the most part, they were playing much worse teams than Philadelphia. I grant you that. I don't know that people would be saying the same thing about Washington, Philly, you know, Commanders, Eagles, or whatever. But I think that there's a very different tone this week. And assuming it's not just because it's a Thursday on the road and that's a quick turnaround, I come back to, there's a different feeling after you've seen them play a bad game, after you've seen them lose, and maybe people are, you know, letting the thoughts infiltrate, well, they haven't beaten a good team. How good are they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But he's right. Past being prologue, 20, 30 years, whatever it is, of every time it seems like you start to buy in, we always call it the other shoe dropping, right? This is a moment where it feels like people are starting to jump, like the ship's been running.
It lurched a little bit. Exactly. Yeah.
And everyone's like jumping into the lifeboats. And for so many years, eventually the ship sinks. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think we're just going to be fine. We're not going to sink. We're going to stay on the boat. You don't need your lifeboat. We're going to keep going that way. And we're going to get to shore. And all these people are bailing off the boat. And he's going like, we don't need to do that anymore, guys. We have a better ship. This is not the sinkable ship that the last one was. And I'm with him a little bit.
Yeah.
800-636-1067, you want to hop in. Let's get to the offense and how they bounce back after the loss to the Steelers and what went wrong in that game that Philly's going to try to replicate to try to slow this offense down. Grant and Danny on the Fan. G&D on the Fan. Pittsburgh was able to keep Jaden Daniels in the pocket. He didn't scramble at all. He rushed for 5 yards. Now, it'd be unrealistic to assume that anything like that was going to happen again, Danny. But do you anticipate the Eagles having success spying him and keeping him in the pocket? We asked Jay Gruden about this. He basically said that everyone tries to do that, and only one team's been successful because the Steelers have better personnel than everybody else. This is what Jay had to say yesterday on the show.
Pittsburgh did not just reinvent how to play Jaden Daniels. There's been a lot of teams that have tried to spy him and not been as effective. You know, the thing is, when you spy a quarterback and you're still rushing four, you lose that whole defender, which helps the underneath coverage. You know, you don't have that free player there lurking to cover, take away slants and shallow crosses and things of that nature. So it's a dangerous thing to play in coverage. It helps spying the quarterback, but there are other issues involved in it. And I think that moving forward, if teams try to do that, I think the passing game will open up even more. And then if they don't do that, then obviously Jaden's ability to scramble will open up. But
yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh can do it because they're one of the best coached teams in the sport consistently. So everybody's rush, you always hear about it because they're rush lanes and they're rush integrity. Well, they did it every time. Like, they're great at it. They're so good at doing the thing that you're supposed to do. So on one hand, and I'm not taking anything away from anybody here, I'm just saying, one hand we go, well, they only ended up with a few sacks and didn't hit Jaden Daniels all that much. Yes, but part of that was, I think, by design, right? Where I think TJ Watt, had he wanted to, could have feasted more against the backup tackle. But God forbid he gets out of his rush lane, goes too far upfield. Daniels is able to kind of squirt up the side. Next thing you know, it's a big gainer the other direction. They maintain discipline because that's what they are. They're great at that. Easier said than done. Because it's like, you know, you see the piece of cheese in the mousetrap and you reach your hand in there and then boom, you're splat. That's kind of what every other defense is going to encounter no matter what. That's why play action works even if run games aren't working. It's why misdirection works even if, you know, the previous 7 plays haven't been effective. It's part of offense and it's what makes defense so hard.
The Steelers said after the game, now, I don't know about to a man if they all said this, but a couple of them in the locker room said that part of why they had so much success working against Jaden Daniels was that they're used to it because they play Lamar Jackson a couple times a year and because Justin Fields in practice and throughout camp is a guy that can run around and is uber athletic and leaves the pocket and can make plays and is dynamic with his feet. I'd imagine the Eagles have similar practice in that regard, right? I mean, Jalen Hurts, when he wants to, can be as prolific as anybody in the league with his feet. He can be ultra dynamic in that way. Now, I will say they have played no mobile quarterbacks, essentially. Just looking at their schedule, because I was trying to see, how have they done when they've played quarterbacks who run? They really haven't. I mean, they've played Cousins, Carr, like nobody runs less than those two guys.
I was going to say, the least runny ever.
Baker Mayfield scrambles a little bit, I guess. But he's not a dual threat by any means. Watson is a pocket passer. Daniel Jones runs, didn't really in that game. I think he had 20 rushing yards. Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence scrambles some, and he would be the closest thing, I guess. And then Cooper Rush and Trey Lance for a couple of series, who would have been their first. But they really don't have any game experience this year against someone who wants to take off and run around. But they do get to see Hurts a lot in practice. Let's go to Rick in D.C. Rick, are you worried about this offense at all?
Not at all. I mean, we lost to three teams that already has been established. So that Pittsburgh loss, I mean, we could have won that game. So I'm not really hurt about that. And we're a lot better and a lot further than what a lot of people thought we would be at around this time of the year. You know, we had 7-3. I mean, we could have easily been, 9-1? So I'm not too worried about that. I mean, even we could have won the Tampa Bay game. It was the first game of the season, and that's our first time together as a whole team. So I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to throw in a towel.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you.
I love the way he's doing the record. 7-3, and they could be 10-0. Even the blowout loss to Tampa.
Yeah.
It was week one. It was their first time playing together. Could have beat Baltimore. Really never at risk of winning that game, but okay. And I will give you the Steelers game for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They could have absolutely beat the Steelers. They were up 10 in the third quarter and probably should have beat the Steelers if they executed a couple of things better. I mean, even with all the drop passes and everything they did badly, if Johnny Newton doesn't jump off sides,
you got a shot again.
They get the ball back with no timeouts at their own 10-yard line with a minute to go, needing a field goal. You're three or four completions away from a long Zane Gonzalez kick to try to win the game at the horn there. I like their chances to get into field goal range the way this season has gone. But if we're playing that game where you could have or should have beaten the Steelers, then do you not then beat the Bears on the Hail Mary?
Yeah, do I get my Malik Nabers drop back and the Giants have an active kicker on the roster and the first time they played? I mean, the point stands, though.
But they're good. If that's his point,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I give them a chance against Philly.
And I'm not throwing in any towels here, by the way, for the record. Like, I think they're about to end up at 10-4. Who wouldn't take that? Who wouldn't take that sight unseen right now, this minute, right? I mean, there are three really winnable games after the Philadelphia game comes up. Win, lose, or draw.
Oh.
Like, so to me, nothing is over.
Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Listen, there's no doubt about it. They're going to win 11 games. They're going to make the playoffs. Their schedule is softer than your pillowcase. I mean, they are in a great spot moving forward. I think people's reticence to say they'll win Thursday is not really an indictment on what they think of the program in the big picture. I think they view this to be a bad matchup because the Eagles have great receivers.
I certainly do, yeah.
And Washington's got a bad secondary, and they just played a physical team, and they're playing basically 72 hours later. They're getting on the field. Bill in Pennsylvania, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm a first-time caller, long-time fan. I actually was able to attend the 91 Super Bowl in Minneapolis. Been through quite a few years of drought. My family suffering with me.
Are you going to the game tomorrow?
I'm not. I know better. Unless I have some friends to go with.
I know better.
But you guys, are you wearing your Washington gear or what?
Well, good thing is I don't wear gear. So I will be in very neutral colors. I'm assuming, Danny, you will be in neutral colors as well.
Very, very neutral. I don't even have any of the gear with the new team name on it, and I won't be getting any at any point in time. I want them to change it immediately. But, yeah, even if I did, tomorrow wouldn't be the time.
Bill, if you want to hang out with us before the game and just not go to the game, you're in Pennsylvania, we'll be at the Bayou Bar and Grill on Main Street in PA about 15 minutes from the stadium.
That's awesome, because I was going to ask you, where are you getting cheesesteaks?
That's a good question. We may have to send Darius out to get a couple different cheesesteaks to try them out. But hopefully they got some at the Bayou Bar and Grill where we'll be hanging out with our listeners.
John's Roast Pork. It's a little shack on the corner outside the stadium. Just look it up.
Okay. Incredible. That's what I want. Yep. That's what I've got circled.
So guys, I had a lot of fans, a lot of drought, got excited for this year, took the family down to the Chicago game, and now they're hooked. and we have a lot of optimism for the future. But I see this game as, I'm not afraid of the Philly defense, which a lot of people are talking about. We've faced some of the best defenses over the past 6 weeks. I guess I would say it still comes back to me, our back line and covering their offense. I mean, they've been explosive. They've gotten hotter. I'd love to see Jaden outplay Hurts and give Brian Johnson a game ball. It would be awesome. But, you know, this may come down to a close game like they're predicting it. And there, you know, we have Gonzalez. I'm not sure I'm sold on him. It is what it is. We have to go to the game with him. But it could come down to teams. And last week, we almost lost on a special teams play.
That would be scary. I'll take my chances after how Zane Gonzalez kicked the ball on Sunday. But that would not be ideal if Zane Gonzalez.
Right.
Was booting the football for a game winner from 49 or something on Thursday night. But I will tell you, I'll take that sight unseen right now. Like, however the game's going to play out, or you could tell me right now, behind door two, is Zane Gonzalez lining up to make it from 50 to win the game? I would take that.
Yeah, so it's the scenario is Washington ball with a chance to win, and it's on the boot of the kicker. Okay?
Yeah.
I'll do that right now.
50-yard field goal with 1 second left, or whatever happens, like mystery play.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the 50-yard field goal. But I think that's what it is. I think he just hammered it. Nobody thinks they're going to be able to stop Brown and Smith with this secondary. And I think that comes back to, we found out how Adam Peters really feels too when they traded for Marshawn Lattimore. I'm telling you, it is we talked about the girlfriend when you were broken up for a week, and now she's back. Adam Peters talked bad about the girlfriend, and now she came back. We know how he actually thinks that they need Marshawn Lattimore, the corner one. We'll give you some of our thoughts as to how Washington can pull off the upset win, and we'll take our first look at Week 11 around the NFL when we return, taking you up to 6:30 on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.